Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast, the perfect podcast for when you have nothing better to do than listen to a blogger talk about Peanuts books for a while. Something better to do would, I suppose, include reading a Peanuts book, but hey, you're here. Might as well stick with it. I'm Nat Gertler, the Og Blogger, and I am the person in charge of the Og Blog Reference Library, with over 1,000 Peanuts and Peanuts-related books in one little, surprisingly unkempt room. I've got all kinds of things there. I've even got a signed Charlie Brown book. No, I don't mean a book signed by Charles Schulz, creator of Peanuts, although I have one of those as well. No, I mean a book signed by Charlie Brown, the one and only, well, one, but clearly not only. It's not even the one you're thinking about, unless you come to this podcast with a very strange view. No, this is Charlie Brown, the former Georgia State Senator, who had a long involvement in more local politics. More formally known as Charles M. Brown. In fact, I just had to edit a claim out of his Wikipedia page that he was called Charlie Brown after the Peanuts character, as his biography shows an image of a 1949 poster for a mayoral race where he uses that name, a full year before Peanuts hit the funny pages. This guy apparently hired someone to polish up his memoirs and paid a book company to print them in 1982, when he was about 80 years old. By the time that I bought a used copy of the book in 2009, Charlie Brown had been dead for about 14 years. I have no idea what happened to Jack and Laura Ruth McNeil, to whom he had inscribed this copy. But this Charlie Brown may be second in fame only to the Peanuts character. If you go to the airport in Fulton County, Georgia, and find that it's named Charlie Brown Field, it's named after this guy. But it's not surprising that there are other Charlie Browns out there. Charlie is a common name, Brown is a common name. Neither has an ethnicity to them that make them unlikely to collide. This isn't Jose Peterson we're talking about, nor Juan Epstein. And it's commonness. That's actually handy for the character. I was listening to a podcast this morning about my favorite current TV series, an unusual sitcom called The Good Place. I'm not going to explain it. Just try it. And from the beginning, go in knowing nothing. It's both hilarious and thoughtful, perhaps a little raw for the most genteel among us. Anyway, this series is the story of one Eleanor Shellstrop. And on this podcast, the creator of the show was talking about how important it was that Eleanor Shellstrop was an unusual name. You're not likely to expect to run into two of them in your life, which is why when she discovers that there's another Eleanor Shellstrop, that's first episode stuff, I'm not giving any deep secrets away, it's weird. Purposely weird. The name Charlie Brown has the opposite effect. It's normal, perfectly normal, utterly generic. It's John Smith. It's not even John Doe, which is a stand-in for a generic name. But I've certainly never met a John Doe or anyone Doe. When you think of Charlie Brown as an everyman, it's the name that makes it possible. He is the most unexciting name in the neighborhood. Schroeder, Van Pelt, Reichhardt, the colorful name of Violet Gray. Shermy, Patty, those were generic names that were allowed to fade away when replaced with folks more specific. Admittedly, people wield his name oddly. I mean, who goes around calling a kid Charlie Brown? Everyone, apparently. It might make sense if there was some other Charlie in the neighborhood that he needed differentiation from. When I was in college, I lived in a four-person dorm module with two guys named Josh. We called the smaller one Micro Josh and the bigger one Macro Josh. And the fourth guy, his name was Matt. That was us, Nat and Matt and Josh. And I am not kidding. When it looked at one point like Matt was going to have to move out, we had a third Josh ready to take his place. Anyway, so Charlie Brown is a common name, and it's not surprising that the Og Blog Reference Library has several books of what I like to call Not That Charlie Brown. That includes Charlie Brown Remembers Atlanta, of course. But it also includes Around the World with Charlie Brown by Charlie Brown. This Charlie Brown joined the Navy just after Pearl Harbor. He says he did it to see the world, but I like to think that it was also to stop the world from attacking the U.S. He claims to have had at least one girl in every port. He briefly left the Navy at one point, rejoined for another 16 years. According to the book flap, he was literally traveling to the four corners of the earth. Literally. Apparently, when you're at sea, you discover the earth is kind of a pyramid shape. It must get real dangerous when you're going over one of the edges. The book is a Vanity Press project, which means the publisher got Charlie Brown to pay for the book to be printed. That's a very good system if you want a garage full of copies of your own book, but it's not a way to get a book sold. There are still very scammy attempts at vanity presses out there. If you ever want to get a book out and you're dealing with a publisher that you're supposed to pay, beware. Perhaps be running away. But the not that Charlie Brown book that I have that is of most interest to the Peanuts fans is one that's really kind of the Charlie Brown. You see, the character of Charlie Brown was named after one of Charles Schulz's co-workers from his days working at art instruction schools. Schulz used the name Charlie Brown several times in his proto-Peanuts comic strip panel Little Folks, although not for a consistent character. Now what I have is the guy who worked at art instruction school, his autobiography, which according to the title page is titled Me and Charlie Brown, A Story of How the Lord Took My Griefs and Made Them Good, or A Book of Good Griefs by Charlie Brown. Now, the oddness of this 1985 book starts with the cover itself. First off, the title of the book doesn't appear on the cover, front, back, or spine. Instead, it has what appears to be a black and white photo of Mr. Brown's head, colorized, placed on a cartoon body wearing clothes like the comic strip Charlie Brown, walking in front of a painted seascape. In the sky, clouds spell out Charlie Brown, while a rainbow comes down, striking the words, A Book of Good Griefs on sea mist and rocks. Or at least that's what the words would say if the image hadn't been too large for the space provided, running the last letters of several words off the edge. The text has a strong Catholic spiritual focus. The book was published by Entheo, a spiritual nonprofit organization which has one of its functions to help feed the hungry. An organization that appears to have faded into history, and as best as I've been able to find, only published two books. The text is not well written. Mr. Brown's approach is rather scattershot, mixing events, views, spiritual beliefs, and quotes from others in a rather tough-to-read manner. Luckily, the part that was of most interest to the Peanuts fans is up front. By page 20, he's done talking about his days at art instruction school, his friendship with Schulz, the creation of the character, and the reaction the police give you when they pull you over and you try to claim that your name is Charlie Brown. After that, it's more on the rest of his life. And I'll admit that I skimmed a small amount of it, but didn't bother trying to wade through the awkward prose to hear the story of the life and spiritual discoveries of a man who's merely a curious adjunct to my real interest. And this was intended to be the first of three volumes. This is book one, In the Beginning, which was to be followed by book two, Later On, and book three, Near the End. The unpublished later volumes would have included a chapter on Frieda Rich, the co-worker from Art Instruction, whose name popped up in Peanuts. The poor quality of the text does not mean that there's nothing of interest here. There's some slightly illuminating discussion on the contrast between the religious beliefs of Mr. Schulz and Mr. Brown, and also a few paragraphs quoted from an article on Schulz that was published before Peanuts emerged. There are also a couple interesting photos. In the grand scheme of Peanuts history, it's an interesting piece, but not a vital one. It is not impossible to find. Copies of it can be purchased on the used market. If that sounds like something you want, that's something you can get. And I guess that's all I've got to say on this Not That Charlie Brown episode of the Og Blog podcast. Now, if you do need a dose of Peanuts discussion between now and the next one, stop by the blog at blog.og.com. That's AAUGH.com. And if you have anything you want to share with me about the podcast, questions, suggestions, insults, or what have you, the mailing address is questions@og.com. And until next time, may you live a life worthy of having a three-volume autobiography. May your vanity always be firmly pressed. And may all your griefs be good ones.